Let's greet each other saying, God loves you. And we continue to look at the Bible. As you all know, we're going through the Bible in chronological order. Because the Bible is not in the chronological order, so it might give you the confusion when you read it through from the book Bible. Today is the first to preach on Numbers. I will deal with the introduction and from chapter 1 to 10, preparing for the promised land. Until last week, we have learned the history of the Leviticus. So from arriving at Mount Sinai after Exodus and staying until receiving the commandment and the ordinance of living as the people of God. So Leviticus is about events while Israel stayed in Sinai since the Exodus. Thereafter, Numbers is about the wandering of the historical sites from the mountain Sinai to the land of Canaan. So you must understand how the Bible flows in historical order so that you can understand it well. If you see the diagram in the screens, and you can see the Leviticus, the location is not changing. So if you have this one on the screen, the big picture in your mind, and it's much easier to understand. So we've learned about the five books of the Moses. The first, you must not forget the big picture of what the Numbers place in the Pentateuch. Pentateuch is a five book of Moses. So I briefly go through the what was the five book of the Moses, which is called Pentateuch. The book of the Genesis, which introduces God. The subject of the covenant, that he made a covenant of the Leviticus. And the book of the Exodus, which records the historical process from Egypt to Mount Sinai, until God made a covenant. And the book of the Leviticus, the center of the Pentateuch, five book of Moses, that tells the laws and ordinances of the people of God. Therefore, Leviticus is the center of the Bible. The rest of the Bible history is determined by whether people live by the covenant of Mount Sinai and the law and the ordinance of Leviticus as a living standard or not. So it is a very important book to know what standards and values we should live as saints. So without understanding Leviticus properly, you can't understand the book of the Bible. So until last week, we studied Leviticus. The book after is Numbers, which is about story of the Israel as God's priest nation after Leviticus was delivered and educated on Mount Sinai. This is a kind of story of the life which God lived by the covenant which they made with God in the Mount Sinai. So it's all about the implementation of the actual the contract and covenant with God. So with this big understanding of the Pentateuch, the book of Moses is very important to understand. So also in a map, we can also understand geologically. So from Egypt to Mount Sinai, and until having the covenant are in the Exodus. Leviticus is about knowing the will of God at Mount Sinai. And Leviticus is what happened at Mount Sinai. Then if we look at the connecting the composition and geography of the number that we look at today, from chapter 1 to 10, is preparing to depart from the Mount Sinai. Chapter 10 to 14 is a story from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Some people call Kadesh Oasis. The chapter 15 to 19 tell us about the situation in the wilderness after the first failure of a conquest of Canaan to train for 40 years. So 40 years wandering is written in chapter 15 to 19. And chapter 20 to 25, is the history of going from Kadesh to the plain of Moab. And chapter 26 to 36, the history from the plain of Moab to the entrance of the Canaan. So have an understanding of this map. It will be much easier when you go through the Bible in literally. So before you read a Bible, each Bible books in each Bible, if you have an understanding of the background, of the geographical background, geological background, and historical background, will give you a much easier understanding. So when you read the text of the Numbers, it might cause confusion because of geological area of the Shin wilderness. In Numbers, the wilderness is different from the wilderness from the Exodus. What he's now explaining is that in Korean version, both wilderness is written in Shin. But in the English version, we don't get any chance to be confused because one is a Shin and the other one is a Zin. So one is S-I-N, the other one is a Z-I-N. So if we like us reading the English Bible, we don't get any chance of confusion. But people reading Hangul version, the Korean version, they get a chance to be confused. That's why he's explaining about. Yeah, the both is written in Shin, in Hangul. So have a look at the map, and the both desert is a difference. But yeah, one is a Shin and the other one is a Zin. But in Korean it's the same, written in the same word. So if you log into our website, actually, you can download this the PowerPoint, and you can anytime when you want to read it, you can go through. So the numbers, he's explaining in what does it mean in Korean word minsugi, which is the numbers. It's the counting numbers. Actually, Jewish in Hebrew tradition, they didn't make the book each book by the name. Actually, they call each book by the first word of the each book. Which word it starts from? They call it by the word it start from the first sentence. So numbers in Jewish, the name is Vayedaber. I don't know whether its pronunciation is right, but which is In Hebrew, what is a he said? The meaning is a he said. Then came after the may the fifth word of the first sentence, Bamidbar, which is in the wilderness, became the name of the book. But later in Greek translation, as we know that you remember the Septuagint version, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, they translate into the Greek version, and they use the word Ariotmoi. The meaning is a number, and when it was translated after later in Latin Vulgate, and it was called Numeri, which is meaning is a number today. The name is called numbers in English today. The author of the numbers is Moses. The record time is about 38 to 9 years after the departure from the mountain Sinai, and it can be said that after arriving at the plain of Moab. The whole structure of the numbers can be roughly divided into three parts. First, from the mountain Sinai to preparation for departure, it is until chapter 10, verse 10. The second is the journey from the mountain Sinai through the wilderness to Kadesh Barnea in the southern region of Canaan, about the journey of about 38 to 9 years in the wilderness after 12 spies. And then the journey to the plains of Moab, and the last third part is the history after arriving at the plains of Moab. So the purpose of the record is to live by the covenant of Sinai as a people of God after knowing the value and standard of life as a saint. So even though we learn a lot of the new information at school, we need a lot of training in the field for you to apply. So even you know the value of God's people, but we are fighting with many trials and errors in many applying it to real life. It takes a gradual process. So when we meet Jesus and born again, we are often thinking that a person will be switched in a moment. But when we experience the grace of God, we may feel like a man of enormity, heavenly providence. But the life of living, the value of God's word is never so easy. It takes much of time, trials and errors, and constant efforts for changing are absolutely necessary to extract all the value and habits and attitude of old man in the past. So, until it changes into a life that lives with a whole new value, it is not easy like switching motherboard on your computer. God has accepted and received us as we were. We were not deserved to be saved, but by the grace of God, we were received. He received us as we were. So we still need a time to change it and become mature Christian and transform this old man's habit through all the old man's habit and becoming a new creature, new value, new kingdom life. It takes the time and the effort. God let his people know what the value and the ways of the saved people is. He makes us to be aware of this new value when we live accordingly, regardless our circumstances and environment. So, living by faith is not like if you pray, you see an angel appearing in a white cloud to solve everything. We are not riding our own white cloud. We live in same situation and environment as the other people living in this world. However, it is based on the value God has spoken to us. And we live in accordance with His mission by clearly knowing our role. This is the what I believe of the living faith, faithful living. So from the Exodus, we can see our faithful journey of the Christian life. So it's not just the crossing over the Red Sea and get salvation, getting a say, get saved and get saved and get saved. And God gives you the miracle after miracle. That was not the purpose of the Exodus. That was not purpose of the calling us and saved us. He's not promising He's going to feed us every day by the miracle. But, however, He asked us to live by the value of the kingdom accordingly to the covenant, and He promised He dwell in us, He live with us. So it is very important to know the journey of the faith correctly to properly see how numbers are related to our lives now. So we must look closely the connection, how it is related to today's life by going through from the Exodus and arrival of Canaan. So as we read through from the Exodus to the Leviticus and Numbers, and we can have an insight to reflect our faithful journey, whereabout we are. But many of the Christians still do not know how important to learn this Bible, and that's just that they're thinking about the land of Canaan without understanding all this faithful journey. So as we gone through previously, God called His people out of Egypt, the land of the death. He did not bring them to the land of the Canaan directly. Instead, He gathered to save the people first at Mount Sinai. So God did not send to save the people to the place of mission, but the first to let them know what the saints are. So after He taught them how to live in the land of Canaan, in the land of mission, as a holy priesthood country. So what is very important here is that God does not ask the holy worship or service from His people who do not know why they are saved, what to live for, and how to live. God allows His people to know what kind of being they are and who God is, so that we can now know how and what we should live for. And then in the place where we are sent, we live a happy life like a God's people, as a light and a soul. So if we look at the journey of believers today, those who became God's people through Jesus Christ must first of all learn the Bible from beginning to the end, from the Genesis to Revelation, as quickly as possible. It is important to know who I am, who God is, and how I live, and what I live for. We must first meet God's heart through the Bible and then move on to the field of life and ministry. It is the first thing we should do as a saved saint to know the will of God, not ministry or service first. So it is not so complicated and difficult to know how God wants us to live on the earth, as we have learned the Leviticus until the last week. Knowing the purpose of Leviticus, reading and meditating, it was not a religious education, but rather a way of blessing people to live well and a life that is related to personal meeting with God, not serving God as idols. But so many Christians, to even today, give up the most important and first the thing to know, and prior thing to know, God's heart through the Bible. Without knowing what to do, why, how to do, and just work hard in the church and serve in the church, and tend to be burned out. So many churches just end up leading their member as a religious practitioner because they don't teach the Bible, the Word of God. Because the church has not taught the will of God as priority, many people just regard being saved and blessed as the order of Christian life. So in this world like Canaan, even after crossing the Red Sea by the grace of Jesus and gathered in the mountain Sinai, today's church, which is today's church, but there is a little concept of living as a priest of God in the world. People do not know why God has called them, so they misunderstand God. And if we pray honestly and enthusiastically, and He opened our path ahead of us, and so that we will have no trouble in our life if we pray. This is totally not true, absolutely not true. A total misunderstanding. So all saints who have been saved by the God's grace have a mission. So God wants to know the heart of God before we go to the ministry field. So the Exodus is not only the story of how God saved those who were in the dead, but also how to begin on earth as a more wonderful, rich, blessed God's people. And Leviticus tells us what and how we should live for. God directly and specially informed in details. So when you read the Leviticus, the important thing is the intention of God. Why God gave this word? Behind this order and law, what sort of intention he had? That is what we need to concern when we read the Leviticus. When you understand previous book properly like this, and you also can understand the book of the Numbers we start today. So the book of Numbers is the first step forward after learning the will of God. It will help us to know how our life of faith should be like after salvation. The salvation is only the beginning of God's dream and my dream. The college students, when they get into the university, this is the beginning. It's not the end. Therefore, now, as a saved people, it is necessary to know what God's will is in order to be a kingdom of priests, a holy people, a God-possessed people, and a proper training. But that training is not what God has created and brought in separate training camp. Through the process of going to the promised land, God is making a people as God's people. Therefore, the content of numbers is such a conversion of value that the saved people get off the slave paradigm of the sin according to the word of God and become a master of promised land. The content of the chapter 1 to 10 is about those who are prepared and know God's heart and live as God's people preparing to enter the field. So let's first look at the history to the Mount Sinai, where God first led people to after the Exodus. God made the first year of the Exodus to be counted as a new year. And on the 14th of January, the Passover, and the next day on January 15th, people start journey of Exodus. So, and it took about 46 days to reach Mount Sinai. On the 50th day, 3 days preparation, God's word, they received God's word and the law. Of course, 40 days after covenant, Moses stayed on Mount Sinai and received the word of God. In some of the sources, the time of receiving Leviticus is from January 1st of the second year, when the tabernacle was completed. However, I believe that it is right to say that God spoke about the way of living God's people from the day when He contracted, as it is written in Exodus chapter 19. When the tabernacle is completed, January 1st, second year of the Exodus, it has been already about 10 months since arriving at Mount Sinai. Even though the tabernacle was completed and sacrificial law was enforced, God told people what to do during the period in Mount Sinai. And the people were educated and learned the contents of the covenant. Of course, during this period, the organization as a nation was completed and military training for Canaan conquest would have been practiced. The tabernacle was completed and the first Passover was held in the wilderness on January 14th of second year. These are the contents in chapter 9 and should be read in the order of time and the order of census in chapter 1. The tabernacle was completed on January 1st, the second year of Exodus. The Passover was celebrated on the January 14th. The census was conducted on February 1st of February. And after 20 days, on February 20th, the cloud of God finally started moving and left from the Mount Sinai to Canaan. So Numbers chapter 1 through 10 list the events that took place about 20 days from the date of census on February 1st until the departure of Mount Sinai. So only men aged 20 or older who could go to war were 603,550 people. there is a total different order and structure from the time of the Exodus in the past. If only men was that many, they would have been similar number of women. And if they combine the children and the elderly, it would be about 2 million. What we learned from the chapter 1 is be a person included in a God's count. To live as a promised people, we must first belong to God's family. The saved people should belong to the children of God, which is a universal church, Catholic church. And also to each tribe is today's local church. And each family is cell, it can be the cell. So this number does not include the number of Levi, and the Levites are counted separately and very precisely to be replaced for the first son of Israel. God makes sure that His children are clearly in the family of God and in the army of God. If there is a Christian doesn't want to belong to the body of the Christ, which is the church, it probably he or she is not spiritually healthy. When all these different various people become one in the Christ, there's actually where the power comes from. When edifying each other, power of God is to start working for the church. So through the chapter 1, I want you to learn, if you are the Christian, you should belong to the church and become a member of the church and a member of the family. Chapter 2 is the arrangement of the tribe in the camp. The layout of life centering on the tabernacle and also the position of the person in the march. It is a recurring story, but we can learn more in chapter 2 that there is no broken or individual action and the absence of the role when the saved people belong to God's family. Christians must not only belong to the family of God, but also to the church, which is like today's local church, and to know and bear the roles and responsibility given by God in their place. So church is explained and described many times. Not a cruiser, but a battleship. The Christians are like soldiers in a battleship. Among the various descriptions of the church, the one is expressed the church as a herd of sheep, which is used to refer to structure with order. It should not be forgotten that the saved people of God belongs to the church. That the church is orderly. Each saint has a role suited to his or her talent. God works from the moment of creation by the order and according to His promise. And also according to His promise to people, He worked with us according to the order He created. Sometimes we pray for the good weather, for the camping, and which is that understanding the how God works properly in the Bible. And that's the misunderstanding of His order. So we're not manipulating God. So either worshipper use God to fulfill their desire because they think that they can change the order and change the rules as they like. But we shouldn't believe God as like the idol worshiper. But our God is not a God of such a wall. Freedom in God, we call it true freedom. But the freedom that God allows is different from the indulgence. Freedom without break, freedom without God's standard is called indulgence. True freedom has not only just an accelerator, but also a way that has a brake. There is a temperance according to the order of God's creation, not according to his or her feelings. It is in a state of order, not of disorder. So in the Church of the Christ, everyone must be equal and respected. The community and members grow and mature only when they accept the order and promise of the congregation and live in that order and promise. In the Bible, God did not write it down why he arranged it like that, the tribe in the camp. So we do not know the specific reason for the arrangement of the tribes in the camp. But when you think about common sense, the front or real truth must be large in number and be more intrepid. So open the door of the world. The door at the rear should be firmly closed and defended. In the sense, the tribe of Judah and Dan are more numerous than the other tribes. And when you look at the example of Caleb, it can be inferred that they had more faith and wisdom or courage. And the appearance of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant always in the center of their stay. It would have given them concentration to gather together all the tribes of Israel. It's 2 days. The pastor shouldn't be the center of the church. The Bible, the Word of God, should be the center of the church, is what I believe. So, Bible and the vision is the... So, what can be today like this tabernacle and Ark of the Covenant play a role together, all the saints together? It should be Bible, and it's the vision of the church. It is not a member just following pastor and pastor just reading the Bible. When we all include the member and pastor read the Bible together and look at the purpose and vision of the church is able to have the right concentration. So in a church like our church in Australia, we have many visitors. So still, even though they are not the visitor and tourist, they just tend to stay as an observer rather than becoming a member. But which is, you need to be aware that is not the way of the Christian life. So remember this, and I want to encourage every one of you to belong to the church, becoming and belong to the cell groups, and become a family. So through the chapter 1 and 2, I want you to be aware of this importance of the belonging to the body of the Christ. And chapter 3 and 4 is the role of the tribe of Levi. The Levi tribe helps the priest to offer sacrifice so that the people maintain a full relationship with God and to administrate the tabernacle God has commanded. The tribe of Levi was not included in the military organization that belongs to God, who redeemed the firstborn of Israel. In the Passover, the firstborn of Israel did not die, but God made them his own. So all firstborns are of God. So God is very precisely work. The thing of God and those given to man, it is very accurate about God's role and what people should do. So God makes Levi to administer the tabernacle. He clearly and precisely gives each one a clear role and distributes the necessary things fairly. If God didn't give the right for the Aaron family, probably people fight over to achieve to get the position of the high priest. So in the history, we can see during the Greek period and during the Roman, people just to have a politics within the church. If there is no God's presence, it becoming like a political party. But the church is, it shouldn't be the political parties. Shouldn't play the politics within the church. So we can realize that from this image of God, we must also be able to fulfill our mission in the church and try to be saints and leaders. The church is not just going to be comforted by what we want in our heart. If you are in the place of death, you will be saved. If you are saved but you have a wound, you will be treated. So in the end, a healthy saint should become a spiritual soldier who carries God's mission. So the leader knows the purpose of God's calling through the Bible. First, they should be the stepping stone that follower can observe and follow. So it is important for leaders to be a model of obedience, such as trying to challenge by faith in the impossible situation and exceptional consciousness. Temperance that does not follow the fashion of the world, the good deed that always helps the hardest. So what they are looking for is a loyalty in any situation. It is not the excuse and exemptions. Carefully look back your prayer life. Is that full of excuse or exemptions and etc. etc.? So in the church, the Christians are well aware of their role and faithful to their role. I wish you all leaders also want to remember the sincerity of God and live the life of priesthood, whom God has asked to lead in obedience, sacrifice, devotion, and service first. But the first thing God did was to prepare Israel for the land that God has promised. It is to let each member of the community know their position and to know their role as if the community and its members were not on cruise ship, but the battleship, and to be able to take a charge of the given responsibility. Chapter 5, the actual application of the law. In chapter 5, discuss about epidemic patients, the disease discovered during the process of the organizing the camp. You can see that patients are taken out of the camp, as he said in the Leviticus. He just moved to the chapter 7 and explained the background, because the story in chronological order and the flow, it should be that after chapter 4, it should be connected to chapter 7. It's a lot smooth and easier to understand in time order if you read it through. But he just put the chapter 5, the what is actually mentioned in the Leviticus. The reason why God is repeating those order he taught already in the Leviticus is something they didn't keep it properly. That we can assume God is repeating it and teaching again. That's why even the story is going from chapter 1 to 4, then 7, but the 5 and 6 is inserted as a repeating lesson. In today's society, where environment is hygienic, and the medical is developed, infectious disease may not be that big threat. In the past, such an epidemic were likely to have been such a threat to determine the entire economy, entire community. So even though God spoke in the word of Leviticus, now there are things that are not obeyed. It might be an ignorance about epidemic, and maybe because of the relationship that they cannot stay to go out to the people they knew. But obviously the patients should be taken out of the camp, because it could infect the entire community. So it was not cruel or harsh, but it was the right step to make everyone else safe. So he's explaining about the culture, Korean culture. It's a Jeong. It's like a kind of love, and doesn't make it clear because they think it's harsh and cruel. So, for example, you leave the man with the disease, epidemic disease in the community, it might risk the entire community, but even though it's a great risk for the entire community, because, how can I kick him out of the community? That's what we call like a jeong and the love in like a Korean culture. It's a bit different from the love. It's like a, so this is also can be shown in the Jewish culture. Didn't make it clear enough because they think it's harsh and cruel. But for the safety of the entire community, it was necessary. So that's probably the reason he repeating again, which he taught in the Leviticus, in the Numbers. God taught how to take corrective action for mistake beginning with verse 5, how to deal with the adultery case and injuries from verse 11. Even if we know how to take action through the Mount Sinai covenant and ordinance, there seem to be a lot of chaos and carelessness in applying the word in the field. So repayment offering when damage to God's belongings or neighbor's belongings add 20% to the price of this item. So it seems that there was a lot of misapplication about repayment law. So he repeatedly told people about it again. And verse 11 is about adultery, and it seems that there have been times when couples have doubted each other. So God teaches people more precise way of doing things. Distrust creates serious consequences for family relations, so that we can eliminate unnecessary and consuming relations by eliminating such a doubt. Destruction of the family is also serious as destruction of the community. That's this relationship between the married couple is repeated and gives instruction in details again on in Numbers. So before they going into the big battles to conquer the Canaan, that's why the chapter 5 and 6 is inserted in. Because the family is important, and also for the community. The right direction is more important than the high speed. So whenever we have a time, we have to look back our daily life based on the Bible. Do you give the best time of the day? So 1 to 7 of the numbers is about the preparation before they moving into the promised land. So when God is counted his people, he assigned every tribe the roles. Remember this and apply to your life. So we have to focus on raise another leader who can bear another life, decipher another life. For this mission of the God, the within the family, your couple have to be united and share the vision together. Within the family, before we carry out the mission in the church. When we pray, help us ask God and repent just a living busy life, and help to ask God. And we want to live the right life, right Christian life, and carry his mission with the joy and obedience. Let's pray.